Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Robcast Podcast, episode number 9. We have another amazing show. We want to welcome to the show Mr. Phil Demmel, originally in Violence, formerly from Machine Head, back in Violence. And they just finished these two reunion gigs, and that sold out in like one first show sold in 4 hours, the second show like 10 minutes. And really bummed that I could not make it. I mean, the who's who of Bay Area metal was there, and like I expressed my love for that scene. And I really should have moved to San Francisco all those years ago when I thought about it, because who knows, maybe I could have been in one of those bands. But
that was the thrash scene.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the standard. Basically, everybody always looked. It's like the death metal scene was like big in Florida. Like, you look for death metal, it was Florida. Thrash metal, it was San Francisco. And then New York started developing a thrash metal
hardcore
scene.
Straight edge hardcore scene, I think.
Yeah, more of New York. Hardcore, but there was also a thrash metal scene with Overkill. You had Nuclear Assault, Anthrax, TT Quick. You had a lot of these bands coming up. And yeah, but the Bay Area, man, that's always going to be in my heart. I mean, I love so many of the bands, Death Angel, Testament, Heathen, Violence, Forbidden, Metallica, all Exodus.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many bands from the Bay Area, some bigger than others, obviously Metallica being the biggest. But a lot of those bands put a dent and made sure their footprint was there. I mean, he comes from a scene that's so amazing that they actually made a movie out of it. And I can't wait to see it, because it'll probably contain information that I don't even know. And I thought I knew everything about the thrash metal scene in San Francisco because of how closely I followed it and how my pictures on my wall were all Bay Area thrash bands all over the wall, until I decided just to put all Metallica pictures up. You know, that was the band for me, but I followed that scene. And then Machine Head came from that area too. Like, it's so cool to talk to Phil, and such a great friend. And anyway, I'm going to stop yapping, and we're going to try to get him on the phone.
Make that call.
Before we get to the interview, we'd like to give a shout-out to Scott at Good Company with Bowling.
My name is Scott Bowling. I have a show called Good Company. Good Company is a show where we film artists in the rock genre, and we talk about their first record all the way to where they are now. We've interviewed bands like Korn and Seven Dust and Rich Ward. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook under Good Company or Good Company with Bowling. So please, if you get a chance, check it out.
Good Company!
Phil,
how's it going?
All right.
Hey,
God,
it works.
Jesus.
Technology.
Sorry about that, man. We're new to the podcast world.
Yeah. No worries, man. I haven't used Skype ever since, you know, they've made it kind of affordable with T-Mobile overseas to call and stuff. So it's, as technology advances, you kind of, you know, toss the old ones aside. And that was one that I haven't used in such a long time. Anyway,
yeah, we haven't used Skype since we started the podcast. Actually, so I haven't used it in years.
There you go.
So Mr. Phil, you have had some busy weeks here that just passed. I know it's been a while since the Machine Head split, and you know, we won't get into that. Other people know, you know, what's going on, what happened, and so ever since then, now you've had like 6 or 7 months has passed. Have you reflected on that time? Like, where's your head at these days?
It's pretty busy, actually. You know, there's still, if there's residual effects of, you know, such a, after a 16-year relationship, you know, you have these, you know, feelings and emotions and grieving and celebration and everything that you go through during that time. But kind of weird going through a 2-month honeymoon after you tell somebody you want a divorce. So there's a weird, weird transition from that. You know, right after that happened, I got the call to do the Slayer thing. So there's, you know, another 2 weeks of not feeling what you need to feel. And, then I get a text from the singer from Violence saying that he wants to do shows. And so you go through all of that. And so from January to now, it's, you know, 4.5 months or whatever, the 5 months since that's happened. There's been so many things that have happened, and all really exciting. You know, me and the wife bought a business last June, and we've got a 2.5, almost 3-year-old son. I've got a 13-year-old son, and a lot going on, man. You got to pick and choose, where all the energy goes, and set aside and prioritize accordingly. And the wife plays in a band that's active. And so recently it's been, like you said, the past 2 weeks have been, we did a Violence Reunion, a couple of shows, and those went off so well. It was, you know, when we started it, everybody was saying, oh, we should do it at the Fox. You should do it at the Warfield, you know, these 2000 cap rooms. And I was just thinking, man, we need to underplay this and not come across as, you know, we're going to do a bunch of production and get backdrops and do, you know, and I've done that to death, man. Overdone. So I wanted it to be the Ruthie's Inn, you know, the old school days of, you know, punk rock show, you know, what thrash was started out to be. And that's where we were. And we played it at the Metro Opera House. It was about 1,000 cap, 1,000, you know, elbows to assholes, you know, 1,000 cap. And it sold out in like fucking 4 hours or something ridiculous. And so it was just, we had a setup on a Saturday. And so I went back to the guy, said, hey, do you have the Friday available? Do you want to do another show? He's all, dude, we have to do another show, but all we have is the Sunday. And so I'm thinking, you know, duh, Game of Thrones starts that night, you know, people from out of town. I'm all, what if we do like a matinee show, you know, like back in the day? And it was on Palm Sunday. So we're like, all that came through my head was the Palm Sunday massacre, you know? And, and so we announced ahead of time, hey, we're going to put tickets on sale on this one thing. And it sold out in like 10 minutes or something ridiculous. So it's, it was awesome to see everybody, you know, embrace this band and this amazing recovery by Sean after a liver transplant and, you know, getting his health back. And we didn't have a barricade. We did some half stacks. We, you know, bare minimum gear and no lights, like 4 par cans. And, you know, people were just stage diving and it was just all over the stage. And it was perfect, man. It was fucking perfect.
Yeah, I see the videos online. You know, I've never, you know, been able to see Violence live. So I watched all the videos online and it just looked exactly how you like described it. No backdrop. It reminded me a lot of that Toxic Waltz Exodus video.
Yeah.
You know, people crazy, going, right? You know, yeah, people just going nuts. I mean, I definitely appreciate it. And for you, I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's the band you were in before Machine hit, yep. And then you went back. I mean, that had to be so uplifting just to see the support. I mean, the fact that it sold out like so quickly. And when was the last time that you actually played with Sean on stage?
Well, we did. I was in a band after Violence ended and Sean quit. We continued as a 4-piece and I sang. We were called Torque. And we had written some songs with Sean that were going to be like new Violence songs, but I went back in and put my vocals on them. So we had played with Exodus back in, I want to say like 1994 or 5. And Sean joined us on stage to do that. So it's, you know, we did a Violence reunion in 2001 and 2 that was just kind of short lived. We did some West Coast stuff and I ended up joining Machine Head. So that put an end to that. And so it had been 16 years since we played together.
Wow. And you got to think about it, man. I do remember hearing some interviews saying that Violence never really got out of California that much, correct?
Yeah, we only did 3 national tours. We never played overseas. Played a couple of shows in Canada, one in Mexico, you know, in Tijuana, so not really down into Mexico. So no, we were big in the Bay Area and nowhere else really gave a shit, so...
But that's cool. I mean, the fact that you announced it, I mean, people must have been like, wow, this band is actually getting back together and doing shows. You know, that's pretty cool, man. It really made me happy for you because I could see the excitement, you know, with you, like that fact that you had that support, you know, from your local scene and the fact that it was still there. It was still
for
there.
Sure.
And people like, and I saw the video. I said, oh my God, that looks like an old school Bay Area thrash show from the videos I've been able to catch on YouTube, and I've never seen one, but it looked amazing. I can imagine like how young you felt that night.
Yeah, totally. It was fun. We all, and even the crowd, everybody got thrown back into that time. It was Ruthie's 1986 back then, where there's no attitudes, no egos, no nothing, there's no laminates, there's no access. There's just the backstage was just wide open. People were just walking through and walking up on stage and jumping off. And, the merch just, we sold out of merch within, an hour or so. And so it was really exciting to be, have that family and open vibe again. And, I think for everybody, not just the band included, family and friends as well.
Were you able to catch up with many of like the Bay Area, like musicians? Did a lot of those people come out to the shows?
Yeah. Yeah. The dudes from Death Angel were there. The dudes, Gary came up and played. We played Lesson in Violence together. And it's kind of, a week later, I'm jamming with Metal Allegiance doing this West Coast tour, and there's this movie premiere for The Murder in the Front Row, which is the story of the beginning of the Bay Area thrash scene, and Metallica and Exodus and Possessed and all these bands getting started. So there's this whole, vibe going on. It's at the Fillmore, and you just mentioned the Toxic Waltz video. I was in that video, and the video shoot was at the Fillmore there, and Rick and Olt's there, and it's really blessed to be. The thing about the scene back in the day, it wasn't just about the bands and the dudes, because they were just people. They were just local people. It was about a lot of the scenesters and a lot of the locals that made up. We'd go see 3-4 shows a week. And it was all the same people. So there was no, rock star vibe or separation between the two. You're just everybody just hanging. Cliff Burton just, watching Possessed and Death Angel and, just everybody hanging out.
So is that how it felt like with the two violent shows? Did that whole vibe come back those two nights?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a return to, that lose your ego.
That's awesome.
We're all in this together, and it felt really good.
Well, now that you've done the two shows, I've seen announcements in Illinois and Europe, and I think one in New York. I think I just saw. Are you planning to do a lot of the Weekend Warrior stuff? Is that something you want to pursue with Violence?
Yeah, so I'm sitting in my office in my home studio right now, looking at the schedule right now, because I'm getting a slew of offers and trying to map out. We've got four dudes who all work. All have families who can't just, leave at the drop of the hat and go, yeah, let's go do a week's worth of dates or 2 weeks or whatever. So we have to limit it to the weekends. And you mentioned New York. We're playing two shows in Brooklyn in November. We're playing the Full Terror Assault Festival. We're like headlining one of the days in Illinois. Going to Mexico City, that's yet to be announced, but in October, going to Mexico City, we're playing in Belgium at the Alcatraz Festival. We're supporting Sacred Reich in May, a couple shows in LA and Phoenix at the end of May. A couple other things that are lined up, and Chicago's one of them, man. So we're coming your way.
I hope so. Well, make sure I'm not on tour.
Yeah, I will for sure.
So
we're gonna book it around that.
Yeah, we'll be a book around my schedule. Well, man, that I think it's really cool that as soon as I saw that announcement, and a lot of people know my love for the Bay Area, and like I wish like I had made the jump and moved there when I really set myself. Awesome. That was something that I had talked about with my friends when I lived in Puerto Rico. I said, man, I'm going to move to the Bay Area, because but I never monetary, like financially, I didn't really know anybody there, but who knows where I would have wound up, if I actually moved there. But I really appreciate that vibe and that camaraderie you guys had. And it's from what everything that I know about it, and I've done the research, and I have the Murder in the Front Row book, and I've read through that and stuff, and it just seems like everybody was it looks like you guys were one giant band,
Yeah.
It was like a gang. It was a gang in a band.
There was competition though. I mean, there was some competition, and especially with like the second or I don't know if we're the second or third wave, but like Death Angel Forbidden. Violence era, and you know, Testament and Death Angel, and you know, there was Testament was you know, definitely ahead of the game a little bit, but Death Angel was pushing them there for a minute, and us and Forbidden, you know, there was some, you know, we took Rob from Forbidden, you know, and we were both managed by Demi Abono, so it was a healthy competition, friendly. It never really, you know, came to anything physical or really too bad. I mean, although me and Craig LeCicero almost fought over, you know, football of all things. You know, he's a big 49er fan. I was a Raider, and still am a Raider fan, but you know, but it wasn't about the music. It was just, you know, it was healthy competition. It was a, you know, good time.
And Testament probably was the bigger of the second wave, correct?
For sure. Yeah. They you know, Zetro was a big friend of mine, so I saw right when he joined Legacy and the whole transition to Chuck and Zet going into Exodus, and it was a big secret and, you know, big controversial move because, you know, the people were such staunch Bailoff supporters. So that was a hard move for Zet. You know, he got his first couple shows, people throwing beer cans at him from locals, and you know, it was a tough deal for him.
So Bailoff was pretty much an icon in San Francisco, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he was. It was a, you know, he wasn't the most musical dude, and, you know, we knew he couldn't sing, but he was just this fixture, and it was a weird transition, you know. It worked out well for both bands. You know, Chuck was more of a glam dude. He was more rock dude, you know. Yeah. He's more in the teasing the hair and wearing the spandex, and he was in a band called Guilt and some other more rocking bands. And so when he got into Testament, it was a whole new kind of style for him and things. So it, you know, and it's funny that here we are back in 1992, really, you know, because Violence is playing, McLean's back in Sacred Reich, you know, the Burn My Eyes era, Machine Head's back together. So there's this whole throwback thing happening right now, and it's, you know, worked out well for everybody.
I think that has brought, that's what I think I was talking to a buddy of mine, how that situation has brought three amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all positive. I know, you know, the split wasn't, you know, as you would have, what anybody wants in a band, you know.
Sure. Like,
nobody wants that kind of split, but the fact that, you know, that now, you know, you're in Violence, Dave is back in Sacred Reich, and then Rob resurrected the Burn My Eyes. I think something positive came out of that whole thing, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
It's not, and you did. I mean,
for the fans.
Yeah, you guys were 16 years together too, you know. So it's not like you were like a couple years and it was done. So, you know, you guys definitely contributed a lot before this change happened. I think now for fans, especially fans for Violence and fans for who loved that first Machine Head album and fans of Sacred Reich, I mean, Sacred Reich's coming out with a new record in like the first record, I don't know, like 20 some years. So it's amazing. Like, it's really cool to see that.
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, when the Burn My Eyes thing got announced, it was, you know, whatever. The first thing I thought was, what a cool thing for the fans, you know, to see Kontos and Logan. And, you know, I wish for some, in a perfect world, Adam could be there, but, you know, obviously that can't happen. And, but it's, playing those old songs always felt like cover tunes to me. You know, I never felt any sort of ownership or entitlement to them, and probably never played them correctly, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know, I could never get the Davidian solo for Logan right, you know? So he's got such a weird style, and you know, that's the thing of it. There's things of mine that he won't be able to play, or if he does or whatever, but there's, you know, things of his that I just never played right. So it's just right that they play those songs.
Yeah. And it's I mean, you got two different right hands going at it, you know. It's all about,
for sure.
Your tone is in your hands, you know? So but what I've seen you play of the old Machine Head stuff, I always thought it was great. But then again, you know, I've been a Machine Head fan since that first album came out.
And absolutely.
I bought it like the day before it came out. I bought the promotional copy at Uncle Sam's Records the day before, and it came out. And I knew it because it was People in Violence. And then when you joined, I was like ecstatic. You know, so
I mean, if you see somebody playing somebody other stuff, it's, you know, there's a band called Y&T that are one of my favorite rock bands of all time.
Oh, they're awesome.
And after and everybody died. You know, Joey Els died, Phil Kilmore died, and Leonard died, and it was never the same. I always wanted to see Leonard playing those songs. You know, even if the new dude was like some awesome killer drummer, I didn't care. Those were those songs. So, you know, it's when you hear the beginning of Vivian or, you know, certain parts of others that, you know, Nation on Fire, it's like, that's Kontos, you know, and Logan and the beginning of Nation on Fire should be Logan playing that stuff. So,
well, I mean, they're the creators of the album, you know, like Kontos, his style is so, like, he's one of my favorite drummers, you know, like I, mm-hmm. like I said, I worship that record. As soon as they announced it, I played that whole thing twice, you know, like remembering and actually inspired myself and wrote new music, you know, because that record came out at a time when I thought metal was kind of like, you know, it's very weird. And, you know, so, but I mean, moving forward, I mean, obviously you had a 16 killer years. I mean, you went all over the world with the band and, mm-hmm. and so now past the violence thing, now you went into Metal Allegiance that gig, how did that gig come about? Is that gig came about from all the Randy Rhoads stuff that you've done or just friendships, whatever?
You know, even back, I was in Machine Head at the time and Miggy would do these things called the Metal Masters and, you know, Kerry King and Gary and, you know, Phil Anselmo, and he'd get all these crazy, Billy Sheehan would get them. And I always wanted to be a part of that. I mean, that's where my heart lies is, you know, doing jam and a jam of covers and, you know, and so I was supposed to do one of them and it got canceled. So I've always been on his radar to kind of fill in. And, I played a couple of things and I was told I couldn't do them anymore. And I played on their record and I was told that I couldn't do that. You know, there just became a time where it's just like, no, you can't, you know, can't do those types of things. So, once I was free to do them, then, you know, this thing kind of came up to do this West Coast and, you know, Jamma with Skolnick and John Bush and Portnoy and Ellefson and these dudes, it's the Chuck and, you know,
which like, does not suck. It does not suck. That's for sure.
So, I mean, I was part of this crazy reunion the other night when, you know, Charlie Benante was in town and, you know, he agreed to play on these Anthrax songs and he hadn't even talked to John Bush in like 10 years, you know, and it's before we're going on and, I don't want to talk too much about it because some stuff should be just private, but just be on stage with those two dudes as they're playing these tunes for the first time in 10 years. You know, it's pretty fucking awesome.
I saw the video that there was a YouTube, you know how, you know, the internet gets a hold of stuff real quick. Sure. So it was out there, Bush and Benante reunited, you know? Yeah. So, but it was, I mean, I'm happy that they did it, you know, because for fans,
yeah,
stuff like that is awesome. You know, it's that like it's same sure. thing when Dave Mustaine played with Metallica on the 30-year thing. That was at the Fillmore, right?
That was at the Fillmore. Yeah, not on the night I went. I went on the third night.
So, I mean,
yeah, he was there.
The fact that he went on there, I mean, people want to see that. And Jason Newsted coming out, people want to see that stuff. And I think that, I mean, I wish I could have seen the Metal. I've seen Metal Allegiance, but not with most of the people you play with. I saw him with Scott Ian and Bello. And they played, and Skolnick played. They played the whole first Van Halen album on Shiprocked.
Oh, rad. Okay.
Yeah, so, which was very... Yeah,
Skolnick nails.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, so I've been listening to Testament since they first started, and Skolnick's more as a neoclassical type of guy. And when I heard him play that Van Halen stuff, like me and BC were like looking at each other. It's like he even had the Van Halen guitar with the stripes and all that stuff. And we heard him play. We're like, oh my God, this dude is nailing everything.
He does. He knows it so well.
Like, and you know, you don't think about stuff like that. You know, like certain blues players, you wouldn't think that maybe they do something outside the box. And, mm-hmm. you know, but that was really cool. It was really cool to see. And is there, are you like officially with Metal Allegiance when they do stuff, or that was that's just for that?
They have their core four guys. You know, Mingy, Portnoy, Ellefson, and Skolnick, and everybody else is just kind of who's available, and they have their, you know, because Andres will play too, and so usually there's they try to have three guitar players so you can kind of rotate in. So I think that, you know, me and Andres are kind of their go-to dudes, because that dude's an encyclopedia. I mean, I pride myself on knowing a lot of cover tunes and be able to pick up some, I learned 19 Slayer songs in a couple of days. So I think that I've got the retention to be able to play some stuff. And, you know, there's something coming up in June that I'm studying for right now, too.
I wonder what that is.
So I've got my Spotify playlist going for that and learning structures and stuff. But it's cool to be, you know, Andreas is amazing guitar player, you know, excellent technique, and we're pretty similar. He's like my evil twin. You know, it's cool that, you know, we're even talking about maybe doing something in the future together. So, you know, stay tuned for something maybe with that.
That's really cool, because I seen that and I was wondering if you're going to plan to do like more of that in the future. You know, like, so I know you like, you were, I was telling you about, I think the Stowaways, and then you told me, you know, I play in a cover band, right? I totally forgot. I said, yeah, you could do that, because that's what the Stowaways is playing covers.
And,
And I told told Danny Hill about it. I said, you need to invite Phil Demmel, because if you need somebody to do covers, that guy can learn pretty much anything you want. So
cool.
So do you have an actual cover band at home?
Yeah. So what it is we had my high school reunion got together. We had a local dude who, somebody knocking on my door. Hey, man. Yeah, you bet. Be well. Thank you, man. So we had a local hero. He's a cop, and he got killed by a gangbanger, and our whole school kind of got together. And so I got my old high school band back together. And we invited other people from the high school to kind of get together, and we just played fun tunes, man. We played, you know, we played Skinner and AC/DC. We played some Journey, some Aldo Nova. We played Prince. We played, you know, all this stuff for this high school reunion. And we had such a good time that it's just like, we need to do this again. So we just, twice a year, we get together, and we're called the Merkins. And whoever we kind of grew up, whoever we grew up with, you know, or even like last time we played, we had Bo Staff came in and sat in, you know, Chuck Billy came in and sang with us. Well, he's from Dublin, but we had Dave Rude from Tesla came in. We played What You Give with him. So it's, you know, pretty legit.
Dave Rude is the newest guitar player in Tesla, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's a local dude. And, you know, he sat in with, played, Thin Lizzy Jailbreak with us. And so, yeah, it was Dave Rude playing guitar, Paul Bostaff on drums, and Chuck Billy singing Jailbreak, all in this little Dublin bar.
That is so cool, man. I've never had that opportunity to play with. I've only been in Nonpoint, and that is it. Like, I've only done a couple things. I did For Whom the Bell Tolls on the ship, you know, with Bumblefoot, Tim Ripper Owens, and Ollie Herbert, rest in peace. Remains. So
that sounds awesome.
So I got to do For Whom the Bell Tolls, and it was so cool. That was like the first cover song I had played since high school. So I would love to do that, you know, and I do have some downtime. So if you ever have something going on and you need a guest drummer, maybe I'll fly out there and play with the Merkins.
Hell yeah, dude. Come out and jam with us.
I want to be a Merkin.
It's pretty open. It's pretty open. Yeah, Robbie Merkin. Come out and join the family.
Robbie Merkin.
Join the Merkin family.
I love that. So so right now, I mean, now you know you got Metal Allegiance out of the way and this cool thing coming up in June. You know, you got your bar. So what's in the future? I mean, I did hear something about possibly you doing something with Mayorga and Lomenzo.
Yeah, we talked about it, and this was, I was still on that Machine Head tour. So that was November where Roy called me up, and him and Lomenzo are doing like this loud Motorhead type rock and roll band. And they wanted me to play guitar and maybe me and James sing on it or something like that. But we've just never gotten together. I saw him the NAMM week, James, it was his birthday. We played at Ultimate Jam Night, and it just hasn't came together. So, you know, people's schedules and everything like that. It's something I'm open for, but we've got something, I hate to use the word super group, but you know, if it comes to fruition, there's something pretty exciting that could be happening here before the end of the year. I've got a studio here. I might want to do a solo record. And like, I've even talked to you about maybe playing drums on, you know, a tune or two that I have going. And
I would love that.
I've got asked to score a Netflix documentary. So I'm going to write a soundtrack for this thing and going to write music with my wife, you know? Yeah. So it's, there's a lot to do, you know, and I'm still looking to join a band too. You know, if somebody needs a guitar player out there and, you know, violent shows are happening and you never know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how you, somebody was going to pick you up. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't. You got all that amazing talent, you know? So it's
right on, man.
I'm sure that something will come along, but still, I mean, everything you're mentioning, super exciting. You know, it's, you still are out there and active, you know, yeah. And that's the important part. And, you know, we can probably talk about what you're going to do in June, because by the time this episode comes out,
well,
it'll be good.
Then talk about it. You say it.
Well, Mr. Phil Demmel is going to fill in for Nonpoint for two shows at Vegas and Pasadena. Last two shows of the tour, BC has got some previous commitment that he could not get out of, and Mr. Demmel will fill in those shoes, which I'm very excited about.
Those are pretty big shoes, man. He's a fucking rad player. I've been YouTubing some stuff, and he's got a cool style, cool look. So I'm. But Nonpoint's been, you guys have been one of my favorite rock bands for a long time now, since I've heard What a Day on the radio way back in Technocracy days. So that was like 99, 2000, wow. You know, so yeah, super stoked to be a part of this and jam with you guys.
Yeah, I do remember meeting you that first time. I think it was in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys were on tour with Trivium and Lamb of God, maybe?
Yeah, and Gojira. Yeah. That was my 40th birthday in Fort Lauderdale that day.
Wow, that it does seem quite a bit long ago, right, Phil?
Yeah, fucking 12 years.
So I remember going on the bus, and I think Rob said who it was, and he gave me this look, and he said, "Oh man, I listen to you guys." And then I remember this question vividly that I asked, "Do you guys play any violence tunes?" And then Rob gave me that look.
Daggers.
They give me that look and he says, "What's the name of Violence first album?" I said, "Eternal Nightmare." And then he like gave me the okay. It like, you know, it's not I wasn't coming across I knew about Violence. I knew what was going on. Right, so right. But I do remember that, and I thought it was so funny that I thought about that this morning. I said, I gotta bring that up because he gave me that look, you know, that
a lot of people, especially after I joined Machine Head and that connection was there. They're like, "Oh, I was a Violence fan way back in the day." And we're like, "No, you weren't." You know, if everybody was a fan back in the day that claimed to be, then there probably wouldn't be no Machine Head, because Violence would have been so popular that it would have just, you know,
yeah.
You guys are all full of shit. Come on.
That's so funny. So, and I also want to bring up the time and definitely was one of the most coolest days of my career. Unfortunately, it was a bad situation when I sat in with Machine Head,
right,
and played. And I can definitely say I played with you, because that was it was an absolute honor to be on stage with you guys. And because, you know, right, I looked at each one of you as, you know, something higher than I could ever explain. You know, and no ass kissing here, nothing. It's just I have such appreciation for that. That scene back in the day, and the fact that I got invited to come on stage with you guys was pretty crazy, and something I'll never forget, and something I definitely appreciate.
Right on, dude. Well, I mean, you deserve to be there, and you played fucking awesome. You did. Did you do Old and Aesthetics?
Yes, and Aesthetics was definitely quite the challenge. It's a hard song. Quite the challenge to learn from one night to the other.
That's a hard song, man, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a very fast.
Well, you did really well. You did really well.
Well, you know what thing that kills me when I talk to people about that? I tell people, you know, not only did I fill in with them, it was the biggest show of the tour. And I was playing with Machine Head on Vinnie Paul's kit, may he rest in peace, with Vinnie Paul sitting right behind me. No, and I'm pressure, like, right? How could I mean, if I fuck this up, I am never going to hear the end of this. And it was like, but the biggest thing that happened when I got off the stage that I always remember too is you came around the back and you gave me a huge hug.
Oh man.
And I was like, man, and dude, I got off on the stage in tears, you know, because I knew that, you know, that what happened to Dave, and I, you know, it's, I know, right. we, you know, and, but I understand tours have to go on. You're on a budget. You just can't miss, you can't miss tours. You know, people don't understand. You just can't, you have to do whatever you can to make the show go on. But dude, it was like an overwhelming feeling that you came over there and you gave me a hug. And I was like, wow. And then you got me into the dressing room to do your ritual thing. I was like, oh my God, like they really are including me in this whole thing. And it's like, honestly, to me, I felt like I was playing with Metallica, to be honest. It was cool. And then
You killed it, dude.
And I've always appreciated your friendship. And I love the fact you've come up and jammed with us. And you know that that door is always open. Doesn't matter where we're at.
Right.
You can come up anytime you want, you know, so.
Awesome, man.
And I'm looking for looking forward to having you on stage, too.
We played on the boat at the Metal Hammer, the Golden Gods on the boat.
Yeah, that's right. You did do that.
Remember?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do remember the boat. Wow.
Yeah.
That was cool. But so right now, basically, I mean, moving forward, you're just going to try to stay busy, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. I'm playing with Violence just about every month, somewhere around the world. Got a show with them every month, doing the stuff with you guys in June. Another Metal Allegiance show is going to be announced in soon. It's going to be in July somewhere, so I'll let them do that. And we've got this soundtrack thing to do. We're going to start writing some music, and we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. You know, everything after, you know, the day after I quit Machine Head, when I got the call from Slayer, and everything after that is just gravy. You know, it could have all ended right after that little tour, and you know, getting the feeling that I got from that crowd, and I mean from that world, was enough to, you know, carry me through for whatever. Nothing more needs to happen, so it's all a bonus at this point.
That is cool. Well, Phil, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
You know, I'm just a dude from Dublin who's fortunate enough to be able to put a couple of notes together and have amazing friends such as you, man. So I'm glad that we've kept in touch through all these times.
I appreciate that. Well, dude, you have an awesome day, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you, Rob. Later, be well.
Man, what a nice way to end that conversation. It's great to still be friends with him. You know, he is just one of the best guys I have met. Top five guys that I've ever met, super humble, and you can tell that a certain happiness in his voice, you know, with everything he's got going on. So wish him the best of luck. You know, he's just, like I say, super nice guy. Got to see him so many times. I got to tour with him, which was a lot of fun.
And he's come up on stage and played with you guys out in Cali, didn't he? Come out and play Bullet or something?
He played Bullet and I think The Reckoning.
Yeah,
he's done that a few times.
I remember seeing video footage of that, and I was like, "How cool is that?"
Yeah, we were on tour with Megadeth, and he came out. Then we were on tour with Alter Bridge, and he came out and did Bullet. And
that's it was on the AB tour.
And at the end of Bullet, we played the ending riff of Davidian, which sounded even heavier.
Holy God.
It was so cool because we suggested it, and while we were on the bus, the guys realized that they were playing the riff wrong. So Phil taught them right there on the bus.
A little bit of learning.
Yeah, it was like a difference of a note, you know.
That makes a difference.
You know, so we got on there and did the four count after the Bullet, and we went right into it, and like I was just in heaven. And I was so in heaven when we did that. And like I said, he's always come to every one of our shows. As a matter, he's actually driven all the way to Sacramento to see us play at Ace of Spades. And he lives all the way up there in Dublin. You know, that's quite a haul. I think it's like a 2-hour drive. And I thought that was cool that he came out to see us. And, you know, he comes in when he came into town with Machine Head. You know, I saw him. I was able to see the last tour. And it was very emotional for me because, you know, and my history of fandom with Machine Head. And then my relationship with Phil has been a long one, you know, and I got to hang out with him in the dressing room and talk to him and just kind of like, man, just reflecting and thanking him, man. And I was like bummed, you know, but.
Well, as he said it, I mean, almost like the day after that whole split and everything really went down, he started getting offers and things and ended up with the Slayer thing and ended up playing.
That was the very next day of him being home. And then here he is on a plane going to Europe to play four shows and learning 19 songs. But I'm sure he was familiar with a lot of the older stuff. And I heard an interview that he wasn't really familiar with the newer stuff. But yeah, I mean, what an amazing chat with that guy, you know, and I'm very happy he was able to come on. And I said, he's been such a great friend. I'm so happy he's going to fill in for these last two shows. And it's just going to be killer to share the stage with him. Anyway, I want to thank Phil for coming on. Thank you all for listening. I said, check him out online and give him a follow. He's active online, does a lot of live videos, and check out, you know, Tour Dates with Violence if they're close to you. And just check up on all things Phil. I think there's going to be a lot of cool things coming in the future from him. And thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Robcast Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on future episodes. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. And feel free to send us comments and suggestions at robcastpodcast@gmail.com.